What's up, motherfuckers? That goes out to everybody who wrote me an email over the last 2 months telling me I should curse less on my podcast.
You know, you don't really come off as professional. I'm just saying I enjoy the equity valuation segment of the program, and the other section of the program I enjoy is the discounted cash flow. If you could just make with the financials from now on. I'm not sure if you noticed, but throughout the course of using your daily standard lexicon, you have a tendency to use a profanity word, and some people may find that offensive.
Good. That's what I say. Listen, you want unoffensive? Turn on CNBC right now and listen to Mohammed El Aryan talk about why he's moving $1 trillion from some bond fund in fucking God knows where that yields 1.78% into another bond fund that yields 1.79%. That'll really get you going. That'll really get you swinging from the chandeliers. Look, I like Mohammed El Aryan. The guy's obviously a baller, right? But let's just say I'm not trying to book him as a podcast guest anytime soon. Folks, the financial media needs a counterbalance. And like the dean says in Animal House, that foot is me. Or if you don't like it, you can join some of the Tesla longs that have gone onto iTunes and have rated me a 1-star. Oh, no. A 1-star. Oh, I got to tell you, I used to go for drinks with my friends in South Philadelphia to a bar called The Pope. It stands for the Pub on Passyunk East. They got cheap beers, and it's a great little hangout. Actually, it was even better 10 years ago before East Passyunk was as developed as it is now. But these same friends that I used to go out with for beers, I tried calling them up a couple weeks ago. I'm like, yo, you guys want to go out, get a couple of $2? I'll do it in my Philly accent. Yeah, you guys want to go out, get a couple of $2 PBRs, maybe a couple of Yinglings? And they were like, yo, bro, I have to tell you, we can't go out for beers anymore because I saw your iTunes podcast fucking rating and it went from a 5 to a 4.5 and I can't be seen with you in public. If you're not from Philly, by the way, that's like a Delco accent. That's like 20 miles outside the city accent. Regardless, I don't give a fuck about my iTunes rating. So go ahead, make it a 1, make it a 0. They let you give a 0, give it a 0. Maybe I'll be the first podcast with 100,000 listens that has a 0 rating. Anyways, I guess the first thing I should do is read the sponsorship since this kind gentleman's check has already cleared. This is my brother Franz at Series7Podcast.com. By the way, this is not bullshit because I did wait for a second to do the opening roll script, what have you, which you're supposed to do immediately after you start this podcast. But I did go to Franz's website, and it actually is pretty interesting. There is a ton of information. You can actually go there, get a bunch of information for free. So if you're not down for spending money, you can go there, listen to a couple of his sample podcasts, and you can inform yourself without paying. But if you like it, maybe you'll want to stay, maybe you'll want to pay, right? So Franz's website is series7podcast.com. Successful investing is a result of experience, education, and luck. You can't rush experience. You can't control luck, but you can acquire education. And this is where Franz comes in. If you ever go to work in the financial services industry, you may be required to pass the Series 7 exam. This exam covers the material financial professionals are required to master before they can talk to the general public about investments. But this knowledge shouldn't only be for financial professionals. Hi. My friend Franz at Series7Podcast.com has put together an audio course to help financial professionals and individual investors master the material for the Series 7 exam. The material covers the full gamut of financial products and regulations, including the various equities such as common, preferred, and convertible stocks, fixed income securities, closed and open-end mutual funds, warrants, options, defined contribution, defined benefit retirement plans, and a bunch of other things that Ross Gerber or Dennis Gartman doesn't understand. Hey, listen, the great thing about Series7Podcast.com is Franz lets you try before you buy. You can get 5 free sample lessons by visiting his website, Series7Podcast.com, and signing up for the free sample lessons and related quizzes, or you can just subscribe to his podcast and download the lessons. The full course is 58 audio lessons. It's over 25 hours of audio instruction and over 1,100 online quiz questions. If you want to purchase the lessons and the quizzes, you got to do so before July 1st, and you can get $10 off by using the offer code RAVEN, R-A-V-E-N, all in lowercase letters at checkout. So head on over to Series7Podcast.com, say what's up to my man friends, and check out the information, because you don't have to be somebody that's a financial professional to want to actually get a financial education. And I've said on previous podcasts, I have actually, you know, gone through and taken sample tests from the Series 63, the Series 7, the CFA Level 1 test, because I want to know, number one, kind of where I stand in terms of everybody else. You don't want to know the answer, trust me. But also, I find it interesting. I find it interesting to gauge what people have to know to get certain designations. So if you head on over to Franz's website, Series7Podcast.com, check out whatever you want for free, and try before you buy, if you want. And support Franz, because he supports me, and I have no listeners, with the exception of you. It's just me and you here. And if I offended you with my introduction, chances are you have already tuned into CNBC and are probably watching a guy wearing a bow tie and salmon-colored pants with little Republican elephants stitched onto them. He's probably trying to figure out who's in first in the Ivy League squash standings. I went downstairs before, and it's no wonder I have podcast listeners. It really is. Because I see something like I just saw, and I think, who is going to give us some type of reality? Because what I'm seeing here is not reality, okay? Jim Cramer is on. He's doing his show. Splashed across the bottom of the screen is, and I just tweeted it out, so I'm going to go back to my Twitter. Okay, splashed across the bottom of the screen is the following on the banner. Cramer, I view Domino's Pizza as a tech company that sells pizza. Okay, folks, now, some people may think I'm a little harsh on the financial media. Oh, he kind of goes out of his way. He makes it a big deal. That's his whole shtick. He's on financial media. I view Domino's Pizza as a tech company that sells pizza. Folks, this is Dennis Gartman level insanity. Okay? This is insanity. You have Jim Cramer on national television telling the people that watch his show for financial advice, most of whom I'm sure are fantastic people, probably not too many CFA level 3 charter holders, but just saying, there could be one or two in there. This is your average everyday mom and pop investor. And this is the guy that they look to for advice. Let's not even start on the fact that he needs to come up with accurate predictions on, I don't know, 30 to 40 equities over the course of an hour, including something called the lightning round. When was the last time you walked into your Wells Fargo to open a checking account? Excuse me, sir, I'd like to open a bank account. Well, you've just entered the lightning round. Fill out this form here. Fill out this form here. Deposit your money over here. Here's your savings checkbook. It's the banking lightning round. Folks, lightning rounds and equity analysis don't go well together. There's a really simple explanation for that. It takes time. It takes time to perform an analysis, okay? There's no conceivable way that this guy, and I have a friend that called Cramer like, I don't know, 6 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever. And they call you, I think they tape it an hour before it goes on. So they call you, I think what he did was he sent in a email or something with the ticker that he was going to ask about. And I guess the producers or whoever prepared in advance or his staff. And then maybe ultimately he walks by afterwards and says, you know, yes, no, buy, sell, whatever. And they call you an hour before the show airs and they bring you on and then that's it. So the amount of time is limited. I mean, in a best case scenario, I think they called him the morning to kind of touch base with him. In best case scenario, this guy's got 7 hours to look at it, to look at all of the picks that he's being given. Worst case scenario, he's got an hour. Doesn't really matter. The point is, you can't come up with a seriously in-depth analysis of anything, in an hour or in 7 hours that trades anywhere. I mean, you just can't. And that leads to banners like the one that was on television last night. I view Domino's Pizza as a tech company. Let's just take that by itself. I view Domino's Pizza as a tech company. Jim Cramer views Domino's Pizza as a tech company. Tech, as in short for technology. Domino's Pizza. Have you ever walked into a Domino's Pizza store? The computer that they use to ring up your order is from like the 80s. And this guy's talking about this being a tech company. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because Domino's Pizza has a forward PE multiple of 27. And in any other rational environment, somebody would require an answer for that. Well, 27 times earnings. That seems to be a lot, especially when the company has $3.15 billion in debt, which is equivalent to almost 6 times EBITDA. Almost. So you have a highly leveraged company that has been buying back a significant amount of stock over the last 4 or 5 years. The stock has done nothing but go up. So Domino's Pizza has been one of the biggest winners over. So I'm looking at a chart here dating back to, let's see. In 2009, Domino's was trading for $7.34 a share, and now it's at $250 a share. All right, I think we could stop fucking pumping it now. They've done very well. They've done very well. Do we need to justify paying 27 times earnings for this company now after it's just gone up 10, 20, 30, 35, 36 times over the last 10 years? You made a 36 bagger. If you were buying in 2019, you've made 36 times your money. Maybe it's time to take some profit. Would that be the first thing that you would think of when somebody's like, hey, Jim, what should I do with my Domino's Pizza? Well, how long have you been holding it? 2010? Well, they're coming together with a really great artificial intelligence offering. No, they make pizza, and it's not even good pizza. Have you ever had a Domino's Pizza? There's a reason it's $5, and I'm not some fucking food snob. Trust me, all right? I'm not some, did you hear the first avocado restaurant open? No. I'm not a food snob. I'm just saying. I've had good pizza and I've had bad pizza. Domino's Pizza food is disgusting. It's terrible. Yet, because they have an app and because they have the pizza tracker, oh, what a fantastic piece of ingenuity that is. What an unbelievable breakthrough in the technology atmosphere. This is fantastic. It's a pizza tracker. It's an app. It shows you, all right, well, we just, now your pizza is being made out of dough, and Timmy just passed the pizza over to Tommy, who is putting the sauce on, and you can track this all on your phone. It's riveting. And then the sauce, and now the cheese is being applied by Sally, and then Sally just handed it to Edward, and Edward put it in the warmer, and now Edward's driving in his little car to your house. You could track your pizza all the way to your house. Don't you people have other things to do? And does this necessarily qualify this company? Look, I know the pizza tracker was a big hit, all right? So I'm probably offending a lot of people right now. But that doesn't make you a technology company. Like they're going to bolt that fucking pizza tracker into the dashboard of the space shuttle the next trip out to Jupiter. Those things that are in the space shuttle dashboard, those are made by technology companies, all right? They've got vectors, they've got degrees. They've got a way to get back to the Earth. They've got planning. They've got satellites. I don't know shit about what I'm talking about, obviously. But there's no dashboard component in the space shuttle that allows the driver to track where his pizza is. Sir, we're halfway to Mars, and it looks like Sally is applying the mozzarella cheese. And it's not even mozzarella cheese. I mean, I guess technically it is. It could be opening myself up for a cause of action there. But it's certainly, I guarantee you, that's not cheese as you think of a traditional cheese. That's the cheapest, made in a laboratory out of guys with lab coats and turkey basters and petri dishes and microscope slides. It's that type of mozzarella cheese. I just have a feeling. But whatever. I mean, the fact that Domino's Pizza can run a special that's like $6 for 3 pizzas and a side, that tells you all you need to know about the quality of the product. It's always like when I was walking through the grocery store back in Germantown, when I used to live in Germantown, we had a Pathmark on the corner of Shelton and Wayne, which, by the way, is gone now. It was one of my favorite places in the world. But we had a Pathmark there, and in the Pathmark, they always ran specials on the Hungry Man dinners, I think they were, or the Banquet. That's what they were. They were the Banquet meal in a box. And the regular price was 99 cents. You'd buy this, you know, meal in a box. You take it out. I don't know what they're called, TV dinners or whatever. You take it out, you throw it in the microwave for 45 seconds, you stir it, you put it back in the microwave for 45, and bang, you got dinner. And I think the regular price on these things was 99 cents, and Pathmark used to run a special always. You can get them for 79 cents. And they name them all these glamorous entree names. Salisbury steak, medium well, you know. And then on the box, there's always a picture of some relatively okay-looking Salisbury steak with some peas and some mashed potatoes. Hey, we're going to give you a whole dinner for 79 cents. And I always used to think, walking past those, what needs to happen in the food supply chain and logistics cycle in order for whoever owns Banquet, Swanson, or one of these giant, massive, probably it's probably Dow Chemical that probably owns the company. What does a company need to do in order to get a paper plate, okay, put something that resembles Salisbury steak in it? I don't know what it is. Maybe it is actually steak. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a Domino's pizza. I don't know. What do they need to do to get a paper plate, put a thing that resembles Salisbury steak into it, some brown stuff that resembles gravy? I don't even care what it is. They have to put some type of liquid in there. They have to put some peas. They have to put some mashed potatoes. You know, I'm using air quotes for both of those. Peas, mashed potatoes, whatever these things are. You know, it's something that looks like mashed potatoes. Probably dirt injected with white dye number 6. What does it take to get all of those things onto one of these paper divider plates, then freeze it, or actually then apply a layer of plastic film over it, then freeze it, and then get that thing into a cardboard box, and then wait for it, wait for it. Once that thing is manufactured, get that into a truck somewhere, and get that truck to the Pathmark in Germantown, okay? Trucks use a lot of gas. City, stop-and-go traffic. Somebody's got to unload that thing from the truck. They got to take a razor. They got to cut open the box. You know, they probably ship these things 144 at a time. They got to take all these things out. They got to put them into the goddamn freezer. And somebody's going to come by and purchase one of those for 79 cents, and somebody's making a profit somewhere. Folks, that should scare the shit out of you. That should scare the living shit out of you. Something fucky is going on in that supply chain there to get that thing to you who's buying it for 79 cents. There's no way. How do you produce? It doesn't even matter if it's actual food. If it was something, if I said to you, make me a model of something that looks like a Salisbury steak dinner, you can use whatever chemical compounds you want. It doesn't need to be ingestible. Make it out of, you know, formaldehyde and toluene and orthochlorotricycline. Just whatever you need to use. Dioxin, just, you know, inject this fucking thing with whatever you need to. Just make it look like a Salisbury steak dinner. And get that from, you know, wherever the manufacturing facility is in bumfuck Idaho. Get it from Idaho onto a truck and into a freezer at Pathmark. Branded, boxed, packaged, sealed, with a photograph on it, labeled 79 cents, and make it so that somebody walking along that buys that, that's going to turn a profit for your company somehow. I mean, I can't imagine what the margins are on something like that. They're probably really good. It's probably like, yeah, these actually cost 12 cents to make and get here. Well, that'll show me. The point is that Domino's Pizza is not a technology company, folks. I view Domino's Pizza as a tech company, folks. You got your tech heavyweights. You got Microsoft. You got Google, Amazon. You got your Apple. And you got your Domino's Pizza. Folks, one of these things does not fit. Which one is it? Is it the cash-generating company that makes the iPhone? Is it the company that produces the Xbox hardware? Is it the company that is dominating e-commerce retailing? Or is it the one that's down the street from your house selling pizzas for $5? I don't know. Do you guys need a couple minutes to take a guess on that one? I view Domino's Pizza as a tech company. Is there any wonder I have people listening to my podcast? Folks, you don't even need to be some advanced certified public accountant to understand that Domino's Pizza is not a goddamn tech company. It's not something that's covered on the Series 7. Or on the Series 63. You don't need to have an understanding of those things to get this. This is just a common sense. Like, hey, is your head screwed on forward? Or or is it like the guy in Spaceballs when he gets beamed into the ship and his head's facing backwards and he can't believe how big his ass is? If your head is screwed on backwards, maybe you'll buy it. Maybe. But I can't imagine anybody believing that Domino's is a tech company. And so, that's your choice, folks. You can put on CNBC and you can watch Brian Kelly sweat while he's trying to explain why the price of Bitcoin is going lower. This is another one I love, by the way. And honestly, I'm not just going to talk about CNBC. It's not going to be a whole podcast talking shit about CNBC. But it is kind of funny when Brian Kelly, who really didn't say too much about cryptos a while back, suddenly became the fast money crypto expert. And on the way up, it was fantastic. And he was pumping Brian Kelly crypto management. He had his own asset management firm. And Brian Kelly was Mr. Bitcoin. And now all of a sudden, as Bitcoin and Ripple and all these currencies are going lower, they have him. Brian's going to explain why cryptocurrencies are heading lower. And look, I'm not trying to give people shit. I get things wrong all the time. I just find this stuff hilarious. The notion that people tune in because they think that the people on television have some edge and some acumen that they are either don't have or incapable of learning themselves is ridiculous, because it's just not true. It's just not true. I'm looking at an advertisement right in front of me right now from Yahoo Finance, because I'm looking at Domino's Pizza, stupid financials, this stupid company. 27 times earnings, 42 times trailing earnings, 6 times EBITDA in debt. Yeah, go out, buy it hand over fist. They're making computers now. They're gonna produce the next iPhone. It's going to be a pizza. You slam it onto your face, and it allows you to make phone calls. Fucking congratulations. You own shares in a tech company. I gave up on Domino's when a year ago they were doing some advertisements like, buy a pizza, we'll give you a share of stock. Pardon me while I puke up my lunch. We'll give you a share of stock. Great. Here, we're going to issue you one share of Domino's at 230 as the company takes on record levels of debt. Here's some, by the way, this is a great time to remind you that this podcast is not financial advice and it's not investment advice. Do your research elsewhere. That's it. And if you haven't started drinking yet, I don't know what the hell you're doing with your Memorial Day weekend, to be honest with you. There's some people I just can't help. I can't help you. If you're at a point where you have not had a cocktail and you're listening to this podcast and it's already Saturday on Memorial Day weekend, there's just some people that are beyond help. My advice, go downstairs, turn on CNBC, and check out what latest food company has developed into an artificial intelligence company that you can invest in. It's going to be the future. What's next? General Mills. General Mills is a tech company. Formerly only made Cheerios and now has come up with an app that allows you to monitor whether your Cheerios box is 3/4 of the way full, half full, a quarter full. I mean, how do people go their whole lives without this technology? It's incredible. I think he said this about Under Armour, too, at one point. It's a tech company, you know, probably right before the stock got shellacked. They have an app. Yeah, everybody has an app, okay? Everybody. Blockbuster Video doesn't even exist anymore, and they have an app. Should I be investing in Blockbuster Video? Is that what I should be doing? I'm looking at an ad on Yahoo Finance, as I was saying 2 seconds ago, for the Yahoo Finance podcast. They are advertising that they have an executive from P.F. Chang's on, another tech company. We have an app that allows you to see where your waiter is exactly in the premises. My waiter took my order, and then he went to the bathroom. And he didn't wash his hands, and then he came back out here and proceeded to continue delivering orders to the table. And I know that all because of my P.F. Chang's app. They are doing their most recent podcast episode on P.F. Chang's expanding into China. And this is the advertisement I'm looking at. American restaurant chain P.F. Chang's turns 25 years old and are opening their first chain in Shanghai. Alexis discusses the Chinese market with CEO Michael Osenlu. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit more mild-mannered, maybe you want to tune into the Yahoo Finance podcast. I mean, look, folks, Dennis Gartman bought shares of Riot Blockchain. I don't know what else to tell you. We are doing the least amount of due diligence possible. This guy was on CNBC every day, and he bought shares of Riot Blockchain. I don't know what else to tell you. If you don't understand from the get-go that Riot Blockchain, which was, again, a biotech company that all of a sudden one day woke up and decided to change its name to blockchain and tacked on, whatever, $5 trillion in market cap as a result, and is involved with all these guys that have been involved with a bunch of other stock shells and reverse mergers. If you don't understand at that point that something may be awry and the result of your equity analysis leads you to believe that a stock like that is worth purchasing, then you deserve to get buried. But the worst part is, these are the guys that are on television. This guy's on TV. What's his name from Morgan Stanley gets quoted all the time about Tesla, Jonas. Price target stayed the same. EPS target has gone this year from $2 in the positive to $6 in the negative. Keeps his price target where it is. They quote him all the time. Morgan Stanley analyst was out today, said this, this, and this about Tesla. Folks, you have to realize that even if you don't know what you're doing yet, that the basics of equity valuation and the basics of common sense will lead you 80% of the way that you need to get there. The rest is you need a little bit of luck. You need a little bit of creativity. You need a little bit of critical thinking. All you have to do is not invest in obvious frauds. And don't listen when people tell you that pizza companies that you know are pizza companies your whole life. You've known Domino's Pizza your whole life. At no point in your life prior to listening to this podcast, I'm giving you a goddamn guarantee right now. At no point in your life prior to listening to this podcast has anybody who is listening right now thought Domino's Pizza is a technology company. And by the way, they happen to make pizzas too. It's in the goddamn name, Domino's Pizza. The name that comes up is Domino's Pizza Incorporated. Not Domino's Computer Shop. Not Domino's Web Services. This would be like somebody coming up to you on the street and being like, hey, Bill, how are you today? By the way, you know the Exxon gas station that you've been filling your car up with every day for the last 20 years? That's on the corner of, you know, your local street and your local town? Oh, yeah, I know the Exxon. Well, that Exxon isn't really a gas station.
It's not?
No, that's a jacuzzi and pool supply store.
Really?
Yeah, they have a gas segment, but they're really a jacuzzi and pool supply store. Well, I never see anything in there. Not one little thing of chlorine. Not one swimmy. Show me one noodle. Show me a noodle, and I'll believe you. Well, there's no noodles. But they're developing it. It exists in the cloud. Don't worry about it. What's the cloud? Well, that's the place where things don't exist. We just say that they're there. Nobody really knows where the cloud is. It's in the cloud, folks. Where's my wallet? It's in the cloud. Honey, have you seen my keys? They're in the cloud. We're not really a tech company, but we have pizzas in the cloud. This makes perfect sense to people. I love it. It's so good, you couldn't make this up. And you know what? I know I'm going on a half hour talking about this, but I don't even care. I really don't. This is a Memorial Day shit extravaganza. I came on thinking I would just talk about whatever agitated me, and I feel like this is therapy. I'm going to have to just talk about this until I deal with it, until it gets out of my system. You have the option of turning off the podcast. I mean, it's not like I'm going fucking crazy, right, folks? The company's called Domino's Pizza. It's a tech company. They're developing a new technology. It helps Boeing airplanes come in for a landing when there's crosswinds. Nope. Just some mozzarella cheese on some dough. And then Jim Cramer has the nerve to get on television, which I've seen him do more than once, and talk about short sellers like they're a problem. Oh, well, the bears, you know, bears are getting in the way here. There's too many bears. Don't listen to the bears. The bears will tell you the PE is too high, but they're going to grow into it, you know? They're just naysayers. No. their performing analysis that's critical and not coming to look at the market from a viewpoint of a guy who is floating on a unicorn over a rainbow heading to a pot of gold. These are people with actual number two pencils still that do math. I mean, short sellers are some of the smartest people out there. You talk to a guy like Montana Skeptic about Tesla. I mean, I don't care who you are and whether you like Tesla or not. This guy knows what he's talking about. This is the kind of guy that to me comes off like he sits at home and does algebra for fun. Now you try telling him. Maybe I think I'm going to speak to him tomorrow. Maybe I'll try to talk to him. Hey, Montana Skeptic, how are you? Good. Anybody ever tell you Domino's Pizza is a tech company? What are you fucking crazy? Pretty much how the conversation would go. But he's a bear. He's a detractor. He's a naysayer. Ooh, it's bad. How about Jim Cramer? Everybody forget the street appearance he made on the street television where he basically said he lies and makes money off of it. I don't want to cause a big rhubarb here about Jim Cramer because, again, he's from Philly. But on the other hand, he did block me on Twitter a long time ago. So there was an appearance that he made on the street television. It's probably widely available on YouTube. But he's talking about Apple and he's talking about the iPhone, which, by the way, is probably the most successful consumer product in history right now. And he says to the guy on the street TV, you know, when I was positioned short at my hedge fund, okay, same guy that thinks Domino's Pizza is a tech company. Here's what he said on the street TV some years back. By the way, I still don't understand why this wasn't a bigger deal. But basically, he admitted to manipulating the markets and nobody really seemed to care. He's still the guy on TV that's Mr. Everyday Investor looking out for the little guy. Here's what he said when he was doing a live video stream for the street TV. And this was, I'm not sure what year this was, but I think this was 2007. Okay. So Cramer says, a lot of times when I was short at my hedge fund, meaning I needed the market to go down, I would create a level of activity that could drive the futures down. Similarly, if I were long and wanted to make things a bit rosy, I would go in and buy a bunch of stocks and make sure that they were higher. It's a fun game. It's a lucrative game. You can move the market up and then fade it. That often creates a very negative feel. That's a strategy worth doing. I would encourage anyone in the hedge fund game to do it because it's legal and it's a very quick way to make money and very satisfying. Okay, there he is, Mr. Everyday Investor. He's in there manipulating the futures market in the morning. And then talking about it, patting himself on the back. Then he goes on, I love this. Then he goes on to say, by the way, no one else in the world would ever admit that, but I don't care and I'm not going to say it on TV. Okay? So that's what's really going on at Cramer's hedge fund. When he's responsible for running money for other people and he's trying to make quick money for himself, this is what he's participating in. He's not buying and holding stocks with a 40 PE and 6x EBITDA leverage. That kind of shit is reserved for the everyday investor. Why? Because Domino's Pizza is a brand that people can understand. They get it. His viewers, the people that tune in and listen to him for financial advice, many of whom I'm sure are great people, probably not in the advanced stages of financial acumen, but that's okay. Neither am I. But it's a brand that they understand. It's a brand that they can talk about. And it's one that they recognize. And he can make a little story out of it. It might just be a tech company. And stocks just keep going up. Isn't that great? But what's really going on when this guy's at his hedge fund in the morning and the market's about to open, when he's not on television and he's dealing with the people that do understand the market and they do understand the futures market and they understand derivatives and they're looking for real money, what's he doing? He's not in there buying 100 shares of General Electric. He's trying to ram it up the futures market's ass. Or he's trying to whack the bid furiously and get the futures to jar one direction or the other to help benefit his other positions and try to influence sentiment. You know, what he's doing on TV now is a leisurely drive through the neighborhood in the Cadillac Eldorado at 35 miles an hour. And what he was doing at his hedge fund was getting behind the wheel of a Lamborghini doing 205 miles an hour through Watkins Glen with 15 other cars. All trying to jockey for position. And he says, Here you go. I love this, and I'm going to read. This is a direct quote from Jim Cramer, also from 2007. You've really got to control the market. You can't let it lift. When you get a bellwether stock that's soaring like Research in Motion, it's really important to use a lot of your firepower to knock that down. So let's say I were short. What I would do is hit a lot of guys with Research in Motion. Now, you can't foment. That's a violation. You can't create yourself an impression that a stock's down, but you do it anyway because the SEC doesn't understand it. That's the guy that just said, buy Domino's Pizza. It's a tech company. You can't foment. It's a violation, but you do it anyway because the SEC doesn't understand it. This is great. Put this guy on television. What possible conflict of interest could this guy have for going out on TV and trying to talk to mainstream investors? In the very same appearance, and I'm reading the damn transcript here, Cramer says, what I used to do, if I wanted a stock to go higher, I would take and bid, take and bid, take and bid, which means basically buy stock and then bid higher and buy stock and then bid higher. Basically, you're just moving the price of the stock up. And if I wanted it to go lower, I'd hit an offer, hit an offer, hit an offer, which is the same thing. Sell stock and then put more stock up for sale. And I could get a stock like Research in Motion that might cost me $15 or $20 million to knock down, but it would be fabulous because it would beleaguer all the moron longs. Moron longs. That's his quote. Moron longs. Investors betting the stock would go up who are also keying on Research in Motion. Okay, you're the moron long he's talking about, folks. If you're watching his show, this is the guy that is calling people moron longs and then going on television that night and recommending that you buy General Electric and hold it because it pays a great dividend. Moron longs. You know who's a moron long? Somebody that believes a guy that says Domino's Pizza is a tech company. Yet this is the guy who gets the TV time. He gets 2 hours in the morning, and he gets an hour in the evening, and then in between that, he's doing stuff for thestreet.com or whatever, his Action Alerts Plus. Nobody works harder than me, he says. That's always his quote. Charlie Grant put up a funny thing the other day in response to one of his quotes. Yes, we know. Nobody works harder than you. 24/7, 365. He's up at 3 a.m., and he doesn't go to bed till midnight. Well, that's fine, but what's the benefit of that when you're reaching the analysis that Domino's Pizza is a software company? And at some point during the same interview, and I don't know, it's not here on the transcript that I'm looking at, but he talks about Apple too. And the guy asks him about Apple and he's like, oh, it's very important to create the rumor that the iPhone is not going to sell well. It's very important to tell people that Verizon is not going. Let me see if I can find the quote. Hang on. Jim Cramer, Market Manipulation, Apple, The Street TV. Now, if that doesn't pull it up on the first... Here it is. Oh, lovely. Here's the actual video. All right, the quality is going to suck here because I'm playing it through the microphone. I'm not patching the audio in direct, but you'll hear it enough just to get the point of what I'm trying to make, which is he's asked about Apple, and basically he says it's very important to create a rumor that the phone's not going to be ready for Macworld. And it's very important to create a rumor that Verizon's not going to be happy with the phone. I mean, he's basically telling you to lie. He's telling you to go out and lie and then lie to journalists and tell journalists that you have a source and you're a source, so you'll make it up and the journalists will have enough to run with the story that says that the phone's not going to be ready for whatever, so that if you're short Apple stock, you might get a 50-cent tick downward or whatever. So this is him talking about basically making shit up. Okay, this is basically him talking about how to manipulate the market in Apple.
People are focused on right now seems to be Apple.
Yeah, Apple's very important to spread the rumor that that both Verizon and AT&T have decided they don't like the phone. Right. That's a very easy one to do because
the rumor.
Also, you want to spread the rumor that it's not going to be ready for Macworld. And this is very easy because the people who write about Apple want that story. And you can claim that it's credible because you spoke to someone at Apple because Apple isn't and it doesn't...
Right, they're not going to comment, they're not going to
say. So it's really an ideal short, and I would, again, if I were a short Apple, I would be working very hard today to get that. And the way you would do that is you pick up the phone and you call Six Trading Desk and say, listen, I just got the phone with my contact at Verizon. He has already said, listen, we're a Lucky G house. We're a Samsung house. We're a Motorola house. There's no room for Apple. They want too much. We're not going to let them in. We're not going to let them do what they did to music. And, you know, I think that's a very effective way to keep a stock down.
Right.
I might also, by the way, because the stock at 84, 85, if a little bit of capital, you go buy some January 80 puts that makes it look like there's going to be something going on. So maybe you, you know, give Morgan an order to buy 1,000 Jan 80 puts, then you go position limit with, you know, you use a hat firm that doesn't know what the heck it's doing. Maybe you go to UBS for puts. And you just kind of create an image that there's going to be news next week, and that's going to frighten everybody. Right. Then they all go out and say, large put buyer, UBS. And then they call Pisani again. You have to use those guys and say, listen, I'm a buy, you know, I see a big buyer puts, and I'm told that it's like it's SAC. You would do that too. And these are all what's really going on under the market that you don't see.
Right, and but, nobody else talks about
it. Right, but what's important when you're in that hedge fund mode?
So what he's talking about here is he's talking about making something up. He's basically just talking about lying. I mean, I don't really know how else to put this. He's talking about if you want the price of Apple stock to go down, if you're short the position, meaning you want it to go down, what you should do is call up 6 trading desks and say to all of them, hey, Verizon is not interested in the phone. They're a Samsung shop. They're an LG shop. They don't give a fuck about Apple. And that'll get the word out on the street while at the same time picking up the phone to journalists and guys like Pisani. I think he said Bob Pisani. You have to, quote, use these guys, he said. So you call a bunch of journalists and you tell them that there's this story too. And once the word gets out, you go out and you go into the weekly puts and you buy some puts that'll show up in the volume somewhere. And ostensibly what this is going to do is it's going to make it look as though there's going to be some bad news coming next week. People pay attention to large option buys. Usually it can sometimes foreshadow a move in a stock. So he's saying go out and lie and then create an environment where it looks like the stock's going to go down and that should put pressure on it today. And that's the best he can do. In lieu of just, you know, doing actual equity analysis and just betting on whether you think a stock will go up or down, go out, hit the phones, trick reporters, make up sources, create rumors. Folks, this is bona fide market manipulation. That's bona fide illegal. You are not allowed to do that. You can't just make something up and then go out and start peddling it around the street in order to try and influence the price of a stock. Yet this is the guy that's telling you Domino's Pizza is a tech company, folks. I mean, look, if you want to be a shark and you want to be Gordon Gekko and one of these guys that buys a stock and then picks up the phone and makes up a bunch of rumors and gets it to go one way or another, that's fine. That's your prerogative. You're playing with the SEC, and maybe you'll get caught, and maybe you won't. But in this case, this is the same guy that's going on television later on in the day and pretending like he's, you know, Mr. Mom and Pop, and I'm a friend to the average investor. You're not a friend to the average investor, because the average investor goes in and buys Apple, and they own it, which, by the way, I'm sure after this, he's been long Apple, because I've heard him say he's been long Apple many times after this. Notwithstanding the fact that the rumor is total nonsense, right? The iPhone is obviously, probably, arguably the most important product that's ever been made in the history of technology. So you got it wrong with the rumor. But what does it get you to do something like this? Then go on television, you know, 3 or 4 hours probably after he did this street interview and go on Mad Money and talk to people about how bad the Bears are. The Bears are bad. They're naysayers. It's like, motherfucker, you're the one out there giving us a bad name. We may be skeptics. We may be short sellers. We may be companies that don't buy bullshit, but we stick to the facts. When you read a report from Muddy Waters or you read a report from Glaucus Research, or you read a report from GeoInvesting, or you read a report even from Citron, they're all backed by facts. There's hyperlinks, there's sources, there's analysis. Some of them more than others. Some reports are dry and they're long and they're 50 pages and it's a lot of financials. Like Ben Axler does fantastic work. You're going to get 100 slides of forensic accounting though. Citron also does excellent work. You're going to get 4 pages of misspellings and curse words. Personally, I prefer that, but that's just a personal thing. But the one tie that binds them is that they're basing their analysis on fact. And you can say what you want about people going out and sensationalizing their position and talking their book or whatever, but nobody's going out there and just fucking lying. Nobody's going out there and lying. And what you're doing is lying. What he's encouraging people to do is lying. Spread the rumor. is what he said twice. Spread the rumor. It's important that you go out and spread the rumor. And then this guy wants to tell me Domino's Pizza is a tech company. Get the fuck out of here. Jesus Christ. Now I'm angry. Now I'm legitimately pissed off. And I can't do this. I can't get pissed off. It's Memorial Day weekend. I need to go enjoy myself. Hey, I'm going to have the Montana Skeptic back on tomorrow. That's an exciting thing that will make me sound less pissed off for a second. folks, I'm glad you guys are here with me. I'm glad we do this podcast together. And I'm glad we keep each other sane for the most part. You know, this podcast was basically started for me to just have a forum to come out and say the things that I wanted to say that I didn't have time to type out. But look, for the time being, it's not the most popular podcast in the world, and that's fine. But we're doing all right. We've gotten over 100,000 listens since we started, which is pretty cool. But here's the deal. I don't really have too much of a voice right now, but at some point I might. I don't have a voice until I do. Until somebody picks this up and somebody starts listening to it. It's okay to ignore me for the time being, if you want. But this stuff is going to have to get out there at some point. It's like my Twitter account. I didn't really have a voice until all of a sudden I looked up one day and I had 29,000 followers, which isn't a lot, but it's some. I got people like you right now listening to this podcast and a bunch of other people that I exchange messages with, that I read their tweets that come through, that I, you know, help with information, that help me with information, that help me with analysis. There's people that listen to this podcast that go onto my YouTube channel and they send me emails and they give me advice and they correct me on things and we create a little dialogue. That's really important stuff and I'm really appreciative of it. And like I said, I don't have the loudest voice in the financial world right now, but I have somewhat of a voice. And in a situation like this, I know that I'm not speaking just for myself because I've talked to people about stuff like this. I mean, chances are if you clicked on this and you've never listened to this podcast before, you probably did because you saw the headline that Kramer thinks Domino's Pizza is a tech company and you found it ridiculous. So there's a couple like-minded people. And every time one of you guys shoots me a like or whatever or it sends me a reply on Twitter, I got all these great people over the last couple months been saying nice things about the podcast. And I got people subscribing to my YouTube channel and all this stuff. All these people that do all these nice little things, they shoot me a little email, they come up to me in person when I'm at a presentation. We got a little something working here. We're not Jim Cramer. I'm not David Faber. I'm not on Bloomberg every morning. But whatever, we're scrapping together a little grassroots something here. And we don't have a lot of momentum, but we have some momentum. So let's keep fighting a good fight. Maybe we can spread a little honesty and a little reality and a little truth in an industry that very desperately needs it. Then after we tackle all that, we'll work on the dress code for people in Stamford, Connecticut. We got to deal with one crisis at a time, folks. I can't fix the entire financial industry at once and while at the same time trying to get people to dress not like they came out of a Vineyard Vines catalog. All right, there's only so much I can do. I'm just one person. There's only so much Wawa coffee in the world. You know what I mean? Jeez. Anyways, look, I hope you're going to barbecue. I hope you're having a nice Memorial Day weekend. If you're not having a cold one yet, I don't know what the hell you're doing, to be honest with you. I'm going to go, you don't care. Anyways, this podcast, you don't give a shit what I'm doing today. This podcast was brought to you by Series7Podcast.com. You know, successful investing is a result of experience, education, and luck. You can't rush experience, you can't control luck, but you can acquire education. If you ever go to work in the financial services industry, you may be required to pass the Series 7 exam. This exam covers the material financial professionals are required to master before they can talk to the general public about investments. But this knowledge should not be only for the financial professionals. Hello, I'm new here. This knowledge should not only be for the financial professionals. My friend Franz at Series7Podcast.com has put together an audio course to help financial professionals and individual investors master the material for the Series 7 exam. This material covers the full gamut of financial products and regulations, including the various equities such as common, preferred, and convertible stocks, fixed income securities, closed-end mutual funds, warrants, options, defined contribution, and defined benefit retirement plans, and on and on. Franz lets you try before you buy. You get 5 free sample lessons if you just go to Series 7, that's the number 7, podcast.com, and sign up for the free sample lessons and related quizzes. Or you can just subscribe to his podcast and download the lessons. The full course is 58 audio lessons. It's over 25 hours of audio instruction and over 1,100 online quiz questions. If you want to purchase the lessons, they're usually $99. You can get $10 off. If you go on before July 1st, just use the offer code RAVEN, all in lowercase, at checkout. And folks, head on over, check out my sponsor, all right? He's a good guy. He's got a pretty cool website. There's a lot of information on it. I just checked it out a couple days ago. There's some informative stuff there. You want to learn? You want to create a financial education for yourself? Get the basics down so you don't have to listen to a guy that's trying to convince you that a company that makes poorly made pizza is somehow revolutionizing the technological world, okay? You want to get the baseline minimum financial education so you can tune people like that out? Go to series7podcast.com. Educate yourself, folks. With that being said, I sincerely hope you all have a beautiful Memorial Day, and I will be back tomorrow with the one, the only Montana Skeptic. Peace!